Zacharias said, "Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Give you a very warm welcome to church this morning, and may the Lord bless us as we come together this Sunday before Christmas Day itself. Let's stand and sing number 465, Meekness and Majesty, Manhood and Deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence this morning, we thank you for this time of year when we can think about the coming of Christ into the world, when we can enjoy the Christmas season. We maybe do not enjoy the busy commercial side of things, but we thank you for time to think about what it's all about, the reason for the season, Christ coming into the world, And as we come through another Christmas time, and we have been through many Christmases, some of us, but we pray, Lord, that it will not just be another Christmas season when we sing the carols, when we hear and read the scriptures, and then we put them all away for another 12 months. But we pray, Lord, that we shall meet with you afresh for the first time. May we learn new things about you at this Christmas season as we have considered the scriptures and as we will yet consider them. And, O God, there are those who have not yet accepted your gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. They still need to do that, and we pray that they will. And we pray, Lord, indeed, that we shall know the praise of the angels, and we shall know the perception of the wise men in seeking Christ, and we shall know the peace of Simeon. All of these people involved in the Christmas story, in the birth of Christ, how they still live with us in many ways, how the Savior has come into the world. He is Christ the Lord. He is the Savior. And we thank you that he can be a personal Savior. And so we pray that you'll bless all of these things to our hearts. We thank you that Graham Kendrick in our first hymn there has captured these deep things so simply. When he talks about meekness and majesty, manhood and deity and perfect harmony, and frailty appears. The Lord of infinity stooping so tenderly. O God, we just look to you and pray that you'll bless our services today. And when we meet on Tuesday morning, we just look to you. What changes there are from one Christmas to the next in health and in homes, where there's one missing this Christmas. And yet we thank you that the Savior is ever present. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same in his comfort. He's the same in his presence. So be with us today, Lord, and thank you for all who will take part in our service this morning and tonight. Bless, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And we have a varied service, and just now we're going to have an instrumental, an accordion solo by Victoria. If you come and get ready, Victoria. And then Hannah is going to sing Away in a Manger. So thank you, Victoria and Hannah. Thank you. Thank you very much, Victoria and Hannah. Lovely. And there's others to take part as well. And thank you to all who have practiced for today. The choir has been busy this past few weeks practicing for our services over the Christmas period. Thanks to the group as well, and to those who are taking part individually or as a group. Let's all sing again, number 589, 589. See him lying on a bed of straw, a draughty stable with an open door, Mary cradling the babe. She bore the Prince of Glory is his name. Have another piano solo, Bethany. If you can make your way up, and then after that, a duet by Julian and Jane, Swinging Town of Bethlehem. And then the choir is going to sing their first piece, I'm Glad I Know Who Jesus Is. Thank you. Well, you never heard little town of Bethlehem like that before, sure you haven't. And this church can produce sound effects and everything. You just close your eyes and you picture the wee donkey, the clip-clop, into Bethlehem. Great. Choir, thank you. Let's have our Bible reading from Hebrews chapter 2. Now, a few weeks ago at the prayer meeting, we looked at these verses, but I thought I would bring them out into the bigger congregation. And also, I'll say things that I didn't say a Tuesday night past. But from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again I will put my trust in him. And again here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. Now, a warm welcome to you this morning, as I've already said, and we welcome you back again tonight at the carol service, which is always a great service in our church here. It's well attended, different ones from the Sunday school taking part, and that will be followed by a light supper. Now, ladies, there's still a trolley to be covered, and so we need four more names, two to be at the trolley, two to serve, and so hope that after this service you're able to put your name down for that. Then on Tuesday morning, Christmas morning at 10:30 to 11:15, Christmas morning service, just to get everything in its perspective. It's not just a day about festivities and all the material and commercial things, but very much to focus upon Christ. And I know we'll have family times throughout the day, but just to spend 45 minutes of the day focusing upon Christ. There'll be Christmas praise, again, different ones taking part. I'll just be giving a wee thought for the day for 3 or 4 minutes. And then usually on Christmas morning we have a special offering that goes to a charity, to a help of some kind. And this year we're giving to Parkinson support. So I hope that you're able to come out tonight and Tuesday morning as well. Next Sunday then there'll be no Sunday school. And then our final Sunday of the year services, 11:30. And 6:30, when again we will look at appropriate scriptures for that, leaving 1 year and into the unknown, into 2013, another year with all its uncertainty, and we shall look at the scriptures about these things, and we'll have a time of prayer before our evening service at 6:10. Our tea service will be on the first Sunday of the year, Sunday the 6th of January at 5 o'clock. We'll put out a catering sheet next Sunday to help with that. And our good friend, the Reverend Tom Shaw, will bring a word at that service. I just want to announce that there was another death during the week. Mr. Morris Gibson's brother, Hill, died. And his funeral was yesterday in Brisheen. So we want to offer to Morris and the Gibson family our sympathy at this time. Now, as we take up our offering, we're going to keep our seats and we're going to sing another carol, number 425, Look to the Skies. There's a celebration, lift up your heads, join the angel song. And after the offering is taken up, I'm sure there'll be still time to stand for the remainder of it. Thank you. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you will bless us over this Christmas period. Thank you once again for your gift to us. And we pray that those who have never received that gift before will do so at this Christmas time. We pray for those, Lord, of our church who are unwell at the present time, those who will be spending a different Christmas than usual, where maybe illness has come upon them. And we just pray that you will be with them at this time. Those who sorrow, those recently bereaved, like the Gibson family, we pray that you will draw near unto them. Those that we know, and this is their first Christmas without their loved one, and there'll be tears and there'll be sadness, and we just pray again that they will just have cause to look upon you. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our gifts and presents. We thank you for our times together for meals and so on. Thank you for all of these things. There are those who are less privileged than what we are, even in our own country here. And Lord, we just pray that all may cause to look to you, rich and poor. And we can see all of those people that came together, Mary and Joseph, poor themselves, the shepherds, the wise men, also a wealthy man, rich and poor, Jew and Gentile, focusing in upon the birth of Christ and why he was born. And we thank you that that is still the case today. So we look to you, Lord, and bless us now, we pray, and accept our thanks for all another year's blessings in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing again before we just share from God's word. Number 337, in the bleak mid-winter, frosty wind made moan. And there's a lovely background to the singing of this hymn, isn't it?
Oh,
So we've all survived the end of the world. 12 minutes past 11 on Friday, the world was meant to end in some way. And apparently the only place in the world to have survived and to be was in a village of France called Bougarach. And there was a man there, 43 years of age, who claims he was born on Venus, said that he was there to welcome the great alien monarch who will rise from the mountain, because apparently there's a mountain nearby, and aliens live under this mountain, and they were supposed to arise and to deliver them from the end of the world. Or in China, there were several wealthy Chinese men were left gazing at the 3-ton radiation-proof spherical Atlantis pods in which they had each sunk £500,000, wondering what to do with them now. And this type of thing goes on, and you can see how many were troubled about these things, and how many even were preparing. And even the terrible shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, Friday week ago, that young man who shot dead those children and those adults, 20 years of age, who first of all shot his mother. His mother belonged to a group in America called Doomsday Preppers, Doomsday Preparation. And she was stockpiling weapons and foods and food to survive Friday, to survive the end of the world. And look at the repercussions from her thinking. How it has devastated so many lives when her son took a few of those weapons, shot her, went to the school, shot 20 children and 6 adults, and then shot himself. And it shows the twisted kind of thinking that there is in people's minds. And why can people not just come to the simple truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world and why he did come? And Hebrews 2:14 and 15 put it so simply: inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There are those who were afraid of Friday. They were counting down the dates, the 21st of December. The world is going to end. People would have been gripped by fear. But where does that fear come from? It doesn't come from God. It comes from Satan. One who had the power of death. Jesus came to release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus came to set us free from such fear as that. And if there's one thing that people fear, it is death and dying. And here we have deity becomes humanity. And a simple outline, we see our human makeup. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood. That's just what we are. We're flesh and blood. That's the way we're described. Everybody, doesn't matter what color the skin is, doesn't matter what our culture is, we are flesh and blood. That's our common nature. That's what we all share. That's what we all have in common. No matter what part of the world we're from, that is our basic components, flesh and blood. But then we see, moving on very quickly, heaven's miracle. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. And I have read these verses, I stop and think at these verses. He himself likewise shared in the same. And that word shared means it has to do with taking hold of something that is not naturally one's own kind. We by nature are flesh and blood. Christ was not. The Lord Jesus had a pre-existence in heaven. He was the eternal God. And as John says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What high majesty, what high deity is that? And then on down in verse 14, and the Word became flesh. We start off John's gospel in heaven. And then in verse 14, we come down to earth, and the Word was made flesh. And that takes in all the Christmas story and Bethlehem and the babe in the manger and all the rest of it. The Word, who was God, became flesh. Became flesh and blood. To take hold of something that is not naturally one's own kind. Yet he willingly took hold of something which did not naturally belong to him. He did not take upon him the nature of angels, but he took upon him the nature of Abraham. He bypassed sinless angels and took upon him the likeness of sinful flesh, as Romans 8 puts it. And this is a great mystery, isn't it? That Jesus became a man. He did not become an angel. Angels were made. Angels were created by God, part of the creation of God. But man was made, Adam was made, but then from Adam and Eve, babies came. And we have all been born. Jesus became as that. He bypassed that of angels, and that must have been fascinating for them. As I said last Sunday morning when we looked at shepherds were told, that they were told, the shepherds were told to go to Bethlehem, and there they would find wrapped in swaddling clothes him who is Christ, him who is the Savior. You will find a babe. That was new to them even. That was fascinating to them. How he bypassed their sinless nature and became as man. Because verse 9 says here, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. And on up in the chapter, that is man. The author of Hebrews quotes Psalm 8 in verses 6 and 7. What is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. Heaven's miracle became a babe. And what was his mission? These verses say why he came. He himself likewise shared in the same, that through death, and there again the one verse, we have 33 years later, we have Calvary, we see him in the cradle, and now we see him on the cross, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That was his mission. Death was a weapon that Satan used to torment many throughout the Old Testament centuries, even into the New Testament. But there were those who did not fear death or dying because of their relationship with God. And this was the mission of Christ, who came into the world, that he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Because we see human misery. Death is a taboo subject. It's a terrifying subject. It's a subject that people do not want to talk about. Many just want to think of the present. Many just want to think of enjoying themselves as much as they can while they can. They don't want to think of the future. They don't want to think of growing old and dying. They don't want to think of growing old and not being able to do the things that they do at present. They just want to be locked into the present. They want to shut out the subject of dying and death. Oh, I'll see to that when it comes. But it's a subject that can come upon a person very quickly. Very quickly indeed. And yet we know of those who were not afraid of death. Psalm 23 and verse 6, the lovely 23rd Psalm that we sing often, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Does David in these words look as if he's afraid of death? Asaph in Psalm 73, verse 24, "You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory." C.H. Spurgeon's comment on that verse is, "Oh, blessed afterwards." There's no fear of death there in any of those men, because Jesus came to release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There are those who before they become Christians have a fear of death and dying. But once they come to know Christ as Savior, and they know that they're now going to heaven, takes the sting out of death. Paul could say in Philippians 1 verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Peter in 2 Peter talked about putting off his tent shortly, leaving the body. He talks about an abundant entrance into that eternal kingdom, or as the NIV beautifully puts it, having a rich welcome, a warm welcome into heaven. And just in keeping with the Christmas story, look at Simeon in chapter 2 of Luke and verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." He was an Old Testament believer. "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms. What a moment that must have been when Simeon realized, after all these years of waiting, it had been shown to him some time before by the Holy Spirit that he wasn't going to see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he holds this babe in his arms. And Simeon's words are recorded for us. You know, when the wise men came to Jesus and presented unto him their gifts, we don't know if there's any words passed or not. But if there were words, if something was said, it's not recorded for us. When the shepherds came and gazed upon the baby Jesus after they'd been told in the fields, and they went out and they broadcast it to the people out in the streets, again, their words aren't recorded what they said, but Simeon's are. Is there any fear of death in this man? Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. This man was not afraid of dying anymore. The very child that he held in his arms came to release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Isaac Watts, we sing his hymns often. He said, just before he died, "It is a great mercy that I have no manner of fear or dread of death. I could lay my head back and die without terror this afternoon." And he did. That's why Jesus came. Deity became humanity. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. But this lives with us year after year, Christmas after Christmas. Because we can put another point in here, heaven's mediator. Wherefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation, to remove the wrath of God for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So what happened around 2,000 years ago and Christmas today, 2012, and if the Lord spares us, 2013 and beyond, it's just all linked together. As one put it, in Christmas we have God with us, Emmanuel. At Easter, God for us. Christ died on the cross for us. Pentecost, we have God in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that babe who was born for you became the Savior, became the man who died for you, and is the mediator who intercedes for you throughout your life. 2,000 years on, the same Lord Jesus Christ. We may have different fears, but this is maybe man's greatest fear: dying, death, what lies beyond, and so on. But Jesus came to deal with that. And when we trust him as our Savior, we do not need to be taken up with this nonsense of all the dates that have been set, that Jehovah's Witnesses and Seventh-day Adventists and other cults have set dates for the end of the return, or for the end of the world and the return of Christ. And because it didn't happen, many ended their own lives and all the rest of it. Many give away their fortunes. They'll not need it anymore. The world's going to end. And even lately, the American preacher Harold Camping, the fourth date that he set, Again, that date has passed. Why are people so gullible? Why do they donate to the likes of this man's ministries and so on? We have the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to remove the fear of death. Oh, death, where's your sting? If you have a scorpion, the part that is mostly feared in the scorpion is the tip of its tail. That's where the sting is. That's where the poison is. But if you were to snip that off, you don't need to fear the scorpion. It's powerless. Let it crawl about there. Let it crawl all over you. It'll do you no harm. Because the sting has been removed. Christ came to remove the sting of death. We don't need to fear it. If you are in relationship with Him, and know Christ is your Savior, and when death comes, it'll be just absent from the body and present with the Lord. And this is one of the angles then of the Christmas message. Flesh and blood, He Himself likewise took part or shared in the saying that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those, to free those, liberate those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So may the Lord bless us this Christmas season as we have thought upon these things. Carol 644, and again we look forward to seeing you tonight at our carol service. The first Noel the angel did say was to Bethlehem's shepherds in fields as they lay. May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Mary and Joseph, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.